Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C. This is Agriculture Today.
You know, really, it's just the, you know, difference in the futures price and the cash price locally. And, you know, certainly it moves up and down every year and by geography. And, you know, in the last 3 years, you know, it used to be one of those things that if you saw a 10 or 15, 20 cent move throughout the year, that was a pretty big basis move. And, you know, frankly, in sorghum in the last 4 or 5 years, you know, it's not unusual to see, you know, 70, 80, 90 cents a dollar a bushel basis move.
Tim Lust is CEO for the National Sorghum Producers on what basis is and why we've seen the volatility.
Certainly that volatility is has been there. And, you know, the good news is most of that volatility the last several years has been to the upside, not the downside.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We talk a lot about exports, but we're not talking too much about the imports and supply chain disruptions on our imports. Key nutrients that are added to the feeds, you know, vitamins, minerals, that sort of thing. Some of these are 4 times higher than a year ago.
Rhea Ziba is Assistant Vice President of International Affairs for the National Pork Producers Council.
And we're even facing disruptions in plastics and plastic ear tags for our hogs so we could differentiate them. And in the fall, we saw some disruptions in plastic packaging. So these are all the things that are adding to the price that you're seeing at the grocery store.
She was speaking at the Washington International Trade Association's International Trade Conference on Supply Chain Disruptions.
So for U.S. agriculture, we've faced a lot of ups and downs over the past few years, and it's been exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic, like John mentioned. For us specifically, for U.S. ag and for pork exports, we've certainly faced a lot of issues exporting our products. Phil mentioned this, container prices are on average 170% higher than a year ago. But we're still continuing to face that last minute cancellation of shipments, as the previous panel talked about. You know, this really does create that bottleneck as we get set to export a product and a carrier decides to go back to Asia and not carry agricultural goods. That leads to a bottleneck beyond just the product, the perishable product sitting at a port. But also we're seeing that cold storage facilities at ports are already at capacity. It's going beyond the ports. But also we're dealing with chassis availability. And then when shipments get canceled, we have the detention and demurrage charges and then trying to figure out how are we going to get this product into cold storage and to find the available labor of the truckers to move product around. So it's certainly been an issue for us that we've had to deal with for over a year now. And the other part of this is there are some countries like China who also have a zero tolerance policy for COVID. So if they have a couple of COVID outbreaks from workers at a terminal, that terminal shuts down. So now there's a bottleneck waiting for our ag products to be offloaded in that country, the receiving country. So it's certainly been of large effects. And then I'd say that I would be remiss in not adding that on top of all these issues at the ports, we're still facing the trade retaliation of a 25% retaliatory duty into China. So while the rest of the world on pork, at least, is paying a 12% duty, we're having to pay a 37% duty into China, which is not making us very competitive. And as Secretary Vilsack said yesterday during his announcement, the U.S. is really looking at losing market access into some of these key markets. And you know, it's making us less competitive, and somebody has to eat the cost of all these additional fees and these bottlenecks. And unfortunately, we're seeing that at retail.
Maria Ziba with the National Pork Producers Council. It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, The formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Did you know that the world-famous Café du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
This is Agriculture Today.
By the way, we've had a pretty good week at grain sorghum exports just this last week or so.
Dan O'Brien is a Kansas State grain economist.
And you've got Colby at 25 over, Saline at 60 over, Topeka 54 over, 14 over at Garden, and Hutchinson at 29 over, and again, it's the same 5 under in Southeast. So really strong feed grains, and again, that's what you've got there is indicative of with the strong grain sorghum basis, we're moving some grain now and through export channels.
Now, Tim Lust is CEO for the National Sorghum Producers. He talks about the success of last year's crop.
Obviously, a big acreage increase, 25%, 24% acre increase, and then, some really good prices from a basis standpoint, and then the board kind of just continued to go up throughout the crop year. And certainly since we've harvested the 21 crop, the Board of Trade just continues to go up. So a lot of things as we move into 2022 to be happy about in terms of what some of the price opportunities are. But that's not all of the story. I mean, as our growers know, the board part is really nice, and we've certainly seen a big increase in commodity prices for all commodities. But, the other part of this discussion really for 2022 is cost of production and what costs look like. And, that's something we're certainly trying to spend a lot of time visiting with growers about and really evaluating what those numbers look like.
Which means the profit potential for this 2022 crop is very good.
We saw 2021 just incredible demand from China and some really strong early bids. And certainly as we move into 2022, we still have China that's going to, already bought more in 21 than of the 21 crop than what they did in 20. And so we continue to see that strong export demand and strong demand from our domestic ethanol plants. So first, the demand is there and it's there. The second part of it, as you mentioned, in cost of production, it's just I'm involved in it and I see it. But until you start paying the bills, you just forget how much some of these costs have gone up. Fertilizer obviously doubled and availability issues, but even on chemical side, just amazed at the increased cost of chemicals and in some of the other crops, seed as well. And that's one of the things that, from a sorghum standpoint, with a, board price where it is today and in many areas still a positive basis bid, you can lock some nice profits with sorghum and while some profits on other crops, while prices on other crops certainly look attractive, boy, the cost of production is just something that's really serious. And then obviously across a lot of the sorghum belt, we've got a really challenging weather situation here with no subsoil moisture and no winter moisture. And one of the things we haven't always been able to talk about, there have been years where there have been challenges on crop insurance price selections for sorghum. But with the formula that we did several years ago in the Farm Bill, the sorghum price selection will be 99.6% of corn this year. So basically a couple of cents a bushel under corn. And so for a lot of growers, that gives an extra 15, 20, 30 cents of protection that they haven't historically necessarily had going into dry periods. Hope you never have to use that, but certainly in years like this, it is a piece of the puzzle. But really, when we just look at cost of production and what market opportunities are and what we think they will be next fall for sorghum, we just think there's a really nice opportunities here to continue to lock in some profit potentials with less risk than maybe other crops.
It's Agriculture Today.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com and texascrp.com, to view many properties we have currently listed in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Give us a call at 800-933-9698 to discuss these properties in detail. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
The beef cow herd did decline pretty significantly. I think it was just over 2% and about a 719,000 head decline. Now, that's the net decline. There were some revisions to the reports, as there typically are.
That's the director of the Livestock Marketing Information Center, Caitlin McCulloch.
NASS goes back and revises last year and then the July numbers as well. So keep that in mind. But I guess what I focused on were where those large declines were and maybe what surprises we saw out of the report. So the substantial changes we saw in key states with the largest declines in South Dakota, Texas, Missouri, and Montana. Now, the Northern Plains did see quite a bit of drought last year. That wasn't all that surprising. Probably Missouri was one of the more surprising numbers for it to see that large of a decline. And then some interesting increases. Idaho, Washington, California, all up, which had a lot of drought last year, too. And also, by all accounts, seemed to be shipping a lot of cows out of those regions. So a little interesting tidbits there. Now, the states that declined a lot more than those states that increased. So we're looking at Missouri and Montana declined about 90 to 95,000 head, whereas South Dakota declined 189,000 head from a year ago, Texas down 160. And then all those states that I listed that increased, those are up less than 35,000 head. So not large changes on that side of things. The calf crop, another number we focus on a lot, was down 1.2% and saw significant declines in Montana, California, and Florida. The under 500 pound category decreased 2.6%. So sometimes those numbers, the calf crop and that under 500 pound number, are a little bit closer together in terms of a percentage wise. But we did have those big storms last year that impacted right during calving season. So we might have lost a few calves there. We also are continuing to wean at heavier rates. So weaning calves at heavier rates can push that number, those cattle, sorry, into higher categories than what we might be would have seen 10 years ago, etc.
Mark Swanson is CEO of Burco Corporation, currently serves as chair of the U.S. Meat Export Federation.
Exports are definitely a unifying interest. When you have 15% of your total beef production being exported, the sense of optimism and the value that it's bringing back to the entire supply chain has really, really grown the overall visibility of exports and the need to have more exports, but also the enthusiasm from the entire convention is clearly evident.
So what's the expectation for prices this year? Dr. Jason Franken with Western Illinois University.
All things considered, prices in 2022 are likely to exceed those of the last couple years. Average quarterly prices for slaughter steers are forecast to rise from about $141 a hundredweight in the first quarter to around $144 in the second quarter, and then fall to $136 in the third quarter before rebounding to nearly $141 a hundredweight in the fourth quarter. For 600 to 700-pound feeder steers, prices are forecast to average about $174 per hundredweight in the first quarter and then rise to about $179 and $185 in the second and third quarters, respectively, before falling to $180 a hundredweight in the fourth quarter of 2022. Now, these projections reflect tighter supplies as well as anticipated pullbacks in domestic consumption and export demand. However, if domestic demand holds and exports tick upward, then higher prices may be realized. Conversely, if new COVID variants hinder demand and or disrupt trade, lower prices may result. And then there's also the potential for higher feed prices to widen the spread between live and feeder cattle prices.
It's Agriculture Today.
One of the directors of feedlot operations here at Freona Industries, it's important for us to be partner with people that understand the business and understand the challenges we face. And as we've grown from 4 to 6 to 8 yards, Capital Farm Credit has been there every step of the way. They understand the agriculture industry, understand the ebbs and flows, the trends, the economics, but more importantly, understand the cattle feeding sector and have been extremely good partners for us to work with. And hopefully that partnership gets to solidify even more.
AquaYield regional agronomist Dr. Tracy Carrillo talks about using NanoPro to improve your burn down.
NanoPro is a nanoliquid technology that grabs the molecules of your burn down herbicides. It enhances the delivery of your herbicides, making them more efficient. You oftentimes see a 3-to-1 return on investment. This will stretch your chemical use up to 30%, which means you're saving more money, especially with the availability and volatility of chemicals these days.
Find out more at AquaYield.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Are you familiar with the New York Times op-ed video series on America's food supply that they have titled Meet the People Getting Paid to Kill Our Planet?
I am.
Georgia Representative Austin Scott questioning Robert Bonney, the Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA, during a recent House Ag Subcommittee hearing.
And it goes on to say, they go on to say American agriculture is ravaging the air, soil, and water, and then goes to a pretty great length to demonize America's farm families. What are your thoughts on those comments in that video series demonizing America's farm families?
I thought it was a horrible video. I think farmers, ranchers, forest owners are great stewards of our land. I think they all depend on the productivity of the land, which comes from stewardship. Agriculture has the opportunity to be a critically important partner. In fact, is already stepping out in climate, water quality, wildlife, and other ways. I was very disappointed with the video.
I, one, want to thank you for your comments. I'm very disappointed in it, too. And in fact, it's outright, it's just flat out lying about, you know, the American farm families, you know, the American farmers that own the land, you know, our kids swim in the ponds. If we don't take care of the land won't take care of us. And people work very hard to put that food supply on the shelves for Americans to enjoy on a daily basis. And American farm families are facing unprecedented challenges right now. Commodity prices are better, but look at the price of diesel. Look at the price of inputs. And I'm very concerned about the continued attacks from the extreme left. And I will tell you, and I don't expect you to comment on this because it's not fair to ask you to comment on this. But when you see someone like Senator Cory Booker, who, if I'm not mistaken, sits on the Ag Committee in the U.S. Senate, making the statements that he has about America's farm families, it's very disappointing to me that somebody in the U.S. Senate would become an extremist opposing America's farm families. So I won't ask you to comment on that, but I did want to get that out. I hope that the members of the committee will take the opportunity to watch that video, and please do it when you're not in a bad mood so that you don't break something.
When it comes to challenges to agriculture, Dan O'Brien, Kansas State grain economist, says
the big issue that agriculture has been affected by in the past has been interest rates. That was what precipitated a lot of the farm crisis back in the 80s, as we had inflation affecting the overall U.S. economy. And at that time, there had been a whole string of about a decade of pretty strong inflation coming in. So with, if not historic highs, really, really strong inflation, 7+% projected yesterday by the U.S. government, then there's a question of what might the Federal Reserve do in terms of interest rates. When you look at the CRB index, which is kind of an amalgamation of energy and ag stocks as commodities against the Commodity Research Board CRB index, that has been running up actually stronger than the overall stock market as a trend of late. So there'd be some concern that as interest rates are raised, then do we see money come out of, to some degree, some cash come out of the financial markets, and have that cash exodus to safer investments also come in and have a crossover effect onto commodities. So here what we're talking about is that perhaps as large a threat to ag markets as wet weather, rain, or lack thereof that could affect them off into the future would be the likelihood of governmental regulatory actions that could affect the financial markets that would bleed over and have an impact on the grain markets.
It's Agriculture Today.
Now is the time to sell. Demand for used equipment is high, and Purple Wave Auction can help you reach the largest community of online buyers. Whether you have a single item or an entire fleet, Purple Wave Auction offers a hassle-free way to sell your equipment. Visit purplewave.com. Straight, simple, sold.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, Director of Sales for Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, 2022 is here. You have lots of opportunities in sesame.
That's right, Stephen. We have grain handlers with 2022 agreements ready to be signed. Smarter Sesame makes a great rotational crop for producers who are planning for the new crop and season. With inputs on the rise, Smarter Sesame is a great choice for low input acres.
Joe, if somebody wants to find out more, how can they do that?
They can call 1-833-SESAME or visit equinom.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Yesterday, the Secretary announced the Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities Program.
Robert Bonney is Undersecretary for Farm, Production, and Conservation at USDA.
Using CCC dollars, USDA will partner with agriculture and forestry to scale the adoption of climate smart practices associated with commodity production and quantify and verify the climate gains from these pilot projects. Our goal is to de-risk the adoption of climate smart practices so that farmers, ranchers, and forest owners can benefit from the development of emerging markets for climate smart commodities.
So how can CCC funds be used for the climate smart practices?
The Commodity Credit Corporation, part of the role of the CCC is to promote domestic consumption of domestic agricultural products by helping to expand markets, including the creation of new markets. And that's essentially what we're doing with this program. This is a commodity program. This is a program on working lands to link climate smart practices, to incentivize climate smart practices as part of commodity production, and then to measure and monitor that. So we think we've got a very strong link to the CCC. And as you say, we've spent a lot of time with agriculture trying to design something that we believe will work for both agriculture and forestry.
And says it will start with pilot projects.
So we've committed $1 billion of this. And as the secretary noticed yesterday, these are pilot projects. We're very confident we'll be able to deliver on all the things the CCC needs to be able to deliver on as we move forward. And yes, the idea here is that there's emerging interest in greening companies' supply chains, looking at the opportunity for agriculture and forestry to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. We're hoping to spur private investment in that, to de-risk this in a way that the private sector and agriculture can partner together on this important issue.
Now, speaking of pilot projects, he talks about pilot projects for cover crops.
Well, we're moving as quickly as we can. We know producers need to make those decisions quickly. And so I'll commit to you that we are moving as quickly as we can. We were actually surprised by the amount of interest. We originally thought we might be in the 5 million acre, as I noted in my testimony, close to 12 million acres. And I know we learned something from Illinois, which is why we thought about this program in the first place.
He also underscores the importance and the need for crop insurance.
Crop insurance is absolutely critical. And, you know, over the last several years, RMA has worked to create new policies, new opportunities for producers in all types of crops and livestock. And in different regions of the country, different types of operation, whole farm, a micro farm, and other. We'll continue that effort, look for those gaps, continue to look for ways that we can expand this vital tool.
Bonney also talks about the upcoming deadline for choosing ARC or PLC.
We're in the midst of the 2022 crop year sign up for ARC PLC, an important safety net program that provides critical support to mitigate fluctuations in either revenue or prices for certain crops. In November 2021, we issued $1.8 billion in payments for producers for the 2020 crop year, and we're on pace for enrollment this year with a deadline for sign up in the middle of March.
Robert Bonney is Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA and was testifying recently before a House Ag Subcommittee. It's Agriculture Today.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
For years, cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. NextGen brand cottonseed from America. You can depend on NextGen varieties for performance and yields year after year. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolgard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Oh, and one other thing. AmeriCot is now offering cotton seed treatments to protect your seed investment against your early season challenges. To find out more, contact your local NextGen representative or seed dealer today. AmeriCot. All we do is cotton. All the time.
This is Agriculture Today.
There will be periods of storm systems that come through to help them out through the spring. It does shut down a little bit this summer, so the timing of storm systems will be more critical this summer than, say, the spring.
Matt Makins is a meteorologist with Cattle Facts.
A lot of these storms are cruising over the Rockies, and then they get some moisture to them around the Corn Belt in the south, southeast, sometimes into Texas, sometimes into Oklahoma, where they're getting some water. But the long term here is just kind of what I just mentioned. The timing of everything is going to be critical, just like it was last year. You know, the drought was moving in over the northern plains into the Corn Belt. There was a lot of concerns about the corn crop and prices early last year. The same situation probably will play out again. But like we saw last year, the timing of things was well worth it for the corn crop. It turned out way better than initial forecasts. The same, I think, can be said for a lot of the grasslands, the pastures for the western areas in the south. Yeah, you're in a bad drought. It's gotten worse recently. But, you know, some producer could walk in right now and say, if I get 2 inches of rain on May 21st when it's 82 degrees, I am set for the season. They know their land. So it will be a timing is critical precip type season, the spring and early summer.
So with drought here, how is USDA addressing that? Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack.
In the fall of last year, we issued the third and final WIP Plus program payment, bringing the total WIP Plus assistance for producers impacted in 2018 and 19 from natural disasters to more than $3 billion. And while we're still completing the tallying of applications for 2021, USDA has already received over 74,000 applications for a total of over $500 million through the Livestock Forage Program. And we know this program is an important tool that has provided critical and initial fusion and assistance for farmers and ranchers. However, the widespread and severe drought conditions across the West last year overwhelmed this safety net system and drove prices for feed 50% or more above typical LFP formula calculations. So USDA is now turning its full attention to delivering assistance for drought provided by Congress and signed by the President last fall through the Extending Government Funding and Delivering Emergency Assistance Act. That's a mouthful, but essentially it's a continuing resolution that kept the government going. And Congress has recognized the need exceeded the existing programs and provided an additional disaster assistance fund of $10 billion to assist agricultural producers in recovery for eligible disaster events that occurred in calendar years 2020 and 2021. Now, this specifically included, at Congress's direction, $750 million specifically for livestock producers for losses incurred due to drought, wildfires, and other storms in calendar year 2021. Now, we're working feverishly to prioritize the $10 billion and are gathering feedback from producers and stakeholders to think about the best ways to use this for drought resiliency. And we're working incredibly hard to develop the program, the policies, and the provisions required to equitably distribute this much-needed relief to producers who have been hit hard by catastrophic disasters. In doing so, we have a few goals and priorities. We want to get the funds out quickly. We want to streamline the process to reduce the burden on you, the producers. We want to make sure that underserved producers who have been left out of past relief efforts get their fair share. We want to encourage risk management tools that are already available as disasters by encouraging participation in those programs. So we're working on a two-step process in livestock and crop support.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. It's Agriculture Today.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
Stock up and save on John Deere filters and packaged oil at the South Plains Implement semi-annual sale. Now through February 28th, receive 10 to 12% off John Deere filters and packaged oil for large ag equipment and 10% off compact tractor home maintenance kits and oil when you purchase filters. No payments, no interest options available on qualifying purchases. Some restrictions apply. See us for details. With 14 locations, there's a South Plains Implement near you. South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We're committed to making USDA's farm and conservation programs available to all farmers and ranchers and forest owners.
Robert Bonney, USDA's Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation.
Last August, FSA published the final rule for the AIRS Property Relending Program to help producers and landowners resolve AIRS property and land ownership and succession issues. All three FPAC programmatic agencies are increasing outreach and assistance in historically underserved communities. Beginning farmers and ranchers represent more than a quarter of the farming population, but have historically experienced more difficulty obtaining assistance from USDA. FPAC will continue to prioritize assistance to these farmers and ranchers. Likewise, urban agriculture is of growing importance. FSA now has 11 urban county offices focused on programs and engagement with producers. And we just announced the membership of the Urban Agricultural Federal Advisory Committee.